Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm Angela M. Williams of the Anointed Masterminders, and I'm here in our virtual studio with our group leader, Beatrice Lewis Saint, and somewhere out there, radio land, is Rufus Curry. So, Rufus, you hear us? Sign in with us, and we've got our someone running our board. Thank you this morning, Stacy, for us. And we're excited. It's for two reasons. It's our call today about business and entrepreneurship strategies for success, but it's also our last call for the month of August. We've enjoyed being your host for this month, and we hope that the programs that we have brought you have been beneficial and that you've enjoyed them. But we're going to ask you now to call someone, text someone, email someone, let them know that we're on the air with Blog Talk Radio and that we want them to call in and hear what we've got to say. They can either go by, via the internet, blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or they can join us live via a telephone call, 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us, once you're on the line, press 1, and we'll bring you in at some point so that you can ask any questions. Then lastly, hit us up on our Facebook page, internationalmastermind.com, Facebook, then International Mastermind, and we would love to have you post questions there or just make comments about the show if you're enjoying the show. Well, we've got Beatrice here. Beatrice, say good morning to our audience this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here this morning. Excited about our show about business and entrepreneurship.
And says Beatrice is the business and entrepreneurship guru. We are just excited that she's on our team and she's going to be hosting this call this morning. So, Beatrice, we're going to turn it over to you now to tell our audience about us as masterminders and who we are and what we do.
Right. We always want to remind our audience about IMA. As all of you know, or if you're new to listening to the show, we focus on the book, Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. That is our guide that we use, as well as multiple books, but primarily Think and Grow Rich is a center of the focus in terms of how we mastermind. What we do is we commit to come together as a group on a regular basis. For example, Rufus and I and Angela, we meet 3 days a week by telephone to support each other. We coordinate the knowledge and effort in the spirit of harmony for us to be able to really focus and accomplish our goals and to support each other. That's what your mastermind partners do. They're there to help you, to guide you, to share information, their expertise when you don't have it, so that you're able to really fulfill your goals and make your dreams come true. And I can truly say that that's what Rufus and Angela has been for me the last 4 years. We hold each other accountable. It's really difficult to meet your goals if you're not held accountable. And sometimes, just by yourself, fumbling, wondering, can I do it, or forget what you did, or make other things priorities. And it's great when you have a group of people that help you. And we focus on 10 areas of our lives. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives, and they include spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, creativity. This month, actually, in the month of August, we focused on 4 areas. We started with spiritual, by keeping first things first. Then we went on to family. Last Saturday, we discussed health. Health is your wealth. And today, as you know, we're going to be talking about business and entrepreneurship. For more information about IMA, log on to our website at internationalmasterminders.com or our Facebook page. You can just like us. I know, Angela, I'm really excited about this today's topic. all of us, Angela and myself and Rufus, are business owners. You know, today, in this day and age, everyone has to be involved in business. I call it multiple streams of income. We all have to have multiple streams of income because we can no longer count on a job the rest of our lives. Particularly with this downturn in the economy, many of us have had to start our own companies to survive because the job market has been so difficult. Don't forget to raise your hand if you have a question as we move on with our discussion on business and entrepreneurship. I am the president of a minority business organization, the Southern Florida Minority Supply Development Council, and that's a mouthful, so we just like to say the council, which is an organization that's been in business over 37 years, and we help minority businesses to grow. And, you know, I've been in this area, whether it's been minority businesses or just black businesses, as the president of the Black Business Association for over 20 years. And that's why I'm just so excited about today's topic. And I hope that what we share with our listeners will be impactful and they'll have an opportunity to think about, you know, do I really want to go into business, or what business should I go into, or if there are just tips that they get because they're already in business. Angela, what would you like to share about your experience being a business owner?
Well, I can tell you that it's a lot of hard work, and if you're not going to be committed to your business, then don't start one. Keep your 9-to-5, because people always think that, you know, having your own business is easy because you know, kind of be your own boss. But being your own boss means you've got to make the money, so you've got to make things happen, and you're responsible for everything of that business success. So I want to encourage you, if you're interested, go for it. But if you're not committed, if you're not a disciplined person, it might be better to stay on a 9-to-5. I have to sign off. They're calling for me in my next event. I'm certainly just excited that you guys are going to be in the air, and I'm looking forward to going back and listening to the archives. Have a great show, ladies.
Thank you so much.
I think
Angela.
Rufus has also joined us.
Okay, Rufus, my brother.
Hey,
are you
hey,
there?
Hey,
Rufus Curry Jr. I don't hear him. Okay, well,
he's there.
Rufus?
Hey, I'm here.
Awesome. Rufus, we know you're an entrepreneur. You know, all of us now, you know, we've got to do it all to really thrive. And so tell us a little bit about your business, and then I'll be sharing some facts about small businesses with our listeners before we bring on our very special guest, Stacy Silvera. What's your experience then in business?
Well, you know, I totally agree with what Beatrice was just saying, and it was echoed by Angela. You know, Beatrice is in the business world 24/7, and she also says, hey, look, you know, economic times have turned down, but when you look back throughout history, the thing that has gotten us through, you talk about post-emancipation, coming out of slavery and the whole nine yards, business, entrepreneurship is the thing that made the difference between just getting by and thriving. So when you look at what we're required to do now, it's the same thing. I own a professional speaking business, as well as I've had the pleasure of participating in a network marketing organization that is absolutely phenomenal. You know, product aside, we're looking at the training ground and the nurturing and the whole nine yards, because a lot of us understand, hey, I'd like to go into business and I want to sell something and I want to get the money. But the thing that we don't understand is the intricacies that go along with that, dealing with the taxes. And if you have a traditional business, then you have to pay employees, insurance, and all that other good stuff right there. But I'm just going to quote the great poet and boxer, George Foreman. George Foreman said this: in America, if you don't have something to sell, you better get something to sell. And if that doesn't ring true, you know what I mean? Because you look at the corporate climate, you know, and Beatrice and Angela, you guys deal with a more traditional corporate climate. I teach high school, but and it can be felt there. The climate is hostile. It's not as friendly. Working 30 years, getting a gold watch and a turkey, that has gone. That's gone, you know, the way, that's passe, that's gone. You know what I mean? So you can do it, but you better be ready to get down.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's some that is some great advice, Rufus, and just reminding our listeners out there, you know, it is taking a risk, but it can be done. I want to just share some facts about small businesses in the United States. Believe it or not, small businesses represent 99.7% of all employers. For many of us, when we think about business, we think about the IBMs of the world, the Apples, the Walmarts, but it's really small businesses that are fueling our economy. They employ half of all private sector employees. Small businesses are innovators. They're producing things. If you can manufacture something, get a patent, sold, you know, revolutionize something, improve something that's in the marketplace, you're well on your way to being wealthy. And there aren't enough of us, particularly minorities, that are focused on, you know, developing and being innovative in terms of producing something. So that's definitely a way to really grow a business. 53% of all small businesses are home-based, and 3% are franchises. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to start a small business. I need an office. No, you don't need an office. A lot of us are working from home. With the technology that's out there, you can start your company from home. And the franchising is another great way to, you know, possibly get in, you know, have a guide as to what to do, sales, marketing, but it costs to be part of a franchise. So there's some upfront costs and ongoing costs that if you're a franchisee that you might have. Believe it or not, many people are not aware of this, but 76% of self-made millionaires in the United States are business owners. So that's an amazing number of successful people. Entrepreneurship is definitely the way to wealth in America. There's so many examples of that. That's why entrepreneurship is so important. It's not just about getting a good job. We can hire people. We can, make a mark in industry, particularly with technology. We can do so much virtually. So hopefully, you know, this is the beginning of this morning's discussion and inspiring you to look at entrepreneurship. Or if you are a business owner, and I know things are tough right now, hold on. Some of the largest businesses have been started during a recession, including Facebook, including Microsoft. Those were started during recessions in our history in the United States, including the Hyatt was started during a recession. And those companies are thriving right now. So to discuss ownership and how to build a small business is our special guest, Stacy Silvera. She is a member of Mastermind. Stacy was the vice president of Apricot Office Supplies and Furniture, one of the largest black-owned businesses in South Florida for more than 25 years. And now she started a new company, Sega Solutions. She is a seasoned business owner. Stacy, please join us and say hello to our audience. Stacy?
Well, good morning, Beatrice, and thank you so much for inviting me to participate with you this morning. I'm excited to be a part of your discussions this morning.
Thank you so much. I've known Stacy for over 20 years, and one thing I can say that describes Stacy is persistence, okay?
Right.
For sure,
thank
and it
you.
Does take it does take persistence. Stacy, how did you, 25 years ago, decide, I want to sell furniture and office supplies?
Well, we actually, when we first started, had a little mastermind discussion because the lights were out, and my business partners and I were sitting around the table figuring out what we could do while the lights were out, and we started talking about what we would love to do. So at the time, my husband was working with Xerox and loved going into a little office supply store that was near the Xerox office. And he says, well, why don't we look into this? And I guess one of the things that I would say to our listeners out there is that you have to do something that you're going to love, you know, because if you do something that you don't feel passionate about, then it's going to get really hard later on. So at first we were looking at a deli called Apricots, but none of us know how to cook, so that quickly fell to the side of the road. And we pursued this office supply thing because Greg just really loved fidgeting with things. So, and that's how we started. We did the research and it seemed like a viable thing to do. And, you know, 25 years in business is how long we stayed passionate about that. So it was a good ride.
That is awesome. Tell us about your new company, Sega Solutions.
Well, I'm pretty much doing the same thing, except this time I'm brokering my services and not having to bear the weight of the inventory and all of that stuff. So I'm really a sales organization. What I like about this new idea that I have is that I can create those multiple streams of income. I'm not going to be depending solely on my office supplies business. I can branch out into other areas that may complement the office supplies business. I'm already talking to the buyers, and so I'm, you know, developing ways to bring more things to market. So that's what Sagas does right now. We're trading under the name of Office Express, which is the office supply company that I'm representing. And so I'm dreaming again. So I think that this also ties into what we do on a daily basis with masterminding, is dreaming about what it is that you'd like to do with your life, with your business, with your personal achievements.
Wow, that is some great information. I love what you said about dreaming. You know, and it's okay to start again. It's such an exciting time as you know, build a new company, and also using your mastermind partners to help you as you're making that decision. What if you are thinking, what should I do? What should I go into? Because a lot of us are at that place, whether we have a 9-to-5. Or maybe we had such a difficult time finding a job, so we're like, okay, I got to do this on my own. You know, what do you think are some growing areas, some growing industries? And I've got some information about that as well for our listeners. I mean, you're out there all the time interacting with people. If you had to give our listeners some recommendations.
Well, two areas that the government wants to help us with is exporting and manufacturing. And so if those are areas of interest to you and you have the capabilities, those would certainly be some areas to do a little research in, because, we're trying to get back on top as far as that is concerned in today's economy. So that's one area that I'm looking at. I don't know what, of course, internet, you know, businesses seem to be the wave of the future. But I'm still a brick and mortar kind of person.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. For our listeners that might be interested in international trade, they can go on to the U.S. Department of Commerce. And even locally, there's the U.S. Export Assistance Center that they provide lots of services for free if you're interested in doing business internationally. Because, you know, our economy in South Florida would have even been worse if it wasn't for our exports. We export billions and billions of dollars all over the world, but particularly Latin America and the Caribbean. You know, I remember the first time I went back to Haiti. I'd been in America since I was 5, and I went back at 25. And the first thing I saw were women that were bringing home rice, used clothes. electronics, and so forth. And some of them couldn't even read or write, but they were in business, and they were mm-hmm. trading with back home. So it is possible that it can be done. On the manufacturing side, Stacey, like you said, that's another area, particularly if you can, you know, innovate something or create something, but it's a little harder to get the items manufactured. But a lot of people, what they do is they might develop something here in the United States, and then they actually have it assembled somewhere else, whether it's China or somewhere in Latin America, to reduce their costs. But there's definitely ways that you can get the manufacturing done. And the U.S. Yes. government has something called the Manufacturing Extension Program to help manufacturers bring products to market. Is there any additional things that you'd like to share in this area?
Well, I want to say that, you know, I attended some of these export sessions, and I do want to say that when you have an interest, or if as you're looking to go into business or do something, there are so many seminars and networking sessions that you can go to pick up information. So I wanted to share with you one story that I got when I went to one of these export sessions. They told us a story about a company that had gone and marketed in the Caribbean and came back with an order for some manure, okay? He didn't have any manure, but he...
Wait, let's say you said manure. That would be like...
Yeah.
Going to the bathroom.
Like fertilizer.
Okay. I just want to be sure. Okay.
Fertilizer.
Okay.
And he came back with the purchase order, not knowing where he was going to buy the goods. He took it to the export-import bank. They loaned him the money so he could buy the fertilizer and then ship it to the Caribbean. And then when the company in the Caribbean paid him, that money went to settle the debt with the import-export company, and then they sent him the difference, which was his, you know, commission or what his profit. So sometimes if you're in the right place at the right time, even if you don't have the money up front, you have the connection, they're going to help you. So, you know, I encourage people to go and find what they can about what they're doing or what they think they would like to do, and then do it.
Yes, that is an excellent point. Let me just share with our audience a couple of other growing industries. If you're thinking about going into business, energy is a growing area, and there aren't enough minorities in this area. If you can help for people to be more energy efficient, definitely that's the way to go. Healthcare is growing. The baby boomers, they're going to be the majority of our population. So healthcare costs, unfortunately, continues to rise. And if you could find something in the healthcare area, something to help the elderly, we shared international trade, IT, social media, growing areas, nanotechnology, you know, the smaller things are. If you could find a way to work in that area. Agriculture, that's something that we don't look at very much as minorities, farming and so forth, but there are subsidies. This state is one of its biggest exports, whether it's around the U.S. or around the world, is exports, particularly the exports of tomatoes and orange juice and you know, all kinds of things are farmed right here. Even beef is farmed here in our state. So these are some additional areas that are growing as people think about what to go into. Stacey, let me ask you another question. Would you recommend a franchise if someone was going into business? Would you recommend a franchise?
Let me see. It's a great way to get into business when you don't have any ideas of your own, and it's turnkey, and you know, all you have to do is follow the rules, and hopefully at the end of the day things will work out for you. But it does require a usually a pretty large amount of upfront money, as you mentioned earlier. And that would be the biggest drawback. And, of course, you have to follow along with what they tell you to do. So sometimes this is difficult for some true entrepreneurs because they like to blaze their own trail sometimes. But it is a good way to get into a market and to get rid of some of the headaches. When we were with Apricot, we did have a franchise operation, which was Office Furniture USA. And it, for us, it was a great way to get into the marketplace and skip some of the learning pains or growing pains that you would have in that particular industry. And so it was great, but you also are required to perform, and you're required to pay a lot of fees that are not necessarily going to be growth things, if you know what I mean, like marketing costs. It's covering the cost of helping you to market the business. And so for a small business, sometimes that becomes burdensome, you know. So, but I've spoken to people that have franchises such as Subways that rave about the benefits of being in the franchise business. So, you know, if you find the right one, I think it can help you, like you say, to become one of those millionaires.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I hope there are some questions out there for Stacy Rufus. Join our discussion anytime you like, Mel.
I was listening to Stacy, and I think Stacy, I think I have experienced the Apricot, the essence of Apricot. I think you guys did some work with U.S. Southern Command down right. And now, here's the thing. Check this out. Entrepreneurs breed entrepreneurs, and, you know, birds of a feather flock together. And there was a young lady who was in charge of the installation and everything. I forget her name. I believe that was her name. She could cook very well. So
yes.
she was doing apricot by day. And she brought some food in one day, and I think it was, I want to say, conch fritters or some turkey or whatever it was. And so I was, man, I said, this is a business in itself. She said, yeah, well, I'll tell you the idea, think about how to do it. I said, no, you don't need to think no more. You need to go and put these conch fritters out there and let the world, you know, deal with these conch fritters and make it happen. But, you know, the thing, Stacey, we talk about entrepreneurship, and we as masterminders, we rely heavily on Think and Grow Rich, which is a book that was written by Napoleon Hill, which was commissioned by Andrew Carnegie at one time, which was the richest man in the world. And the interesting thing about him, when you read the book and his rise to greatness, was relied heavily on the mastermind process, because, you know, a lot of people read it about Andrew Carnegie, they think that he was just this industrialist that came from a family where he had this silver spoon in his mouth. But contrary to that legend, he wasn't. He was dirt poor. And the thing was is that he used the mastermind process. And when they asked where he got the mastermind idea from, he said that he looked, as he read the Bible, he looked at what Jesus Christ did in the gospel with the 12. And he took the 12 people, and they worked together in common towards a common goal. And I look at what you said. When you said when the lights were off, you were sitting down with, you know, your husband and kindred spirits, and you came, you were kicking around an idea, and you were working towards a common goal. And so, you know, my mom used to say things like this, my grandma, my mom, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Association brings on assimilation. People judge you by the company you keep, like minds, you know, and the whole nine yards. So, you know, as you talk about the mastermind piece, you know, I like to pull in Napoleon Hill because and I was I'd like to quote another gentleman by the name of Harry Harrell, who's the owner part owner of Tom Jenkins Barbecue in Fort Lauderdale, and with a gentleman by the name of Gary Torrance Sr., who are really supportive of me and any of the endeavors that I've done, writing books or anything like that. And Harry told me this. He said, Rufus, the world will tell you that nobody's going to help you. He says, but all you have to do is get started. If you can start it doing what it is that you want to do, people will come out of the woodwork to help you. And can you speak to that, speak to associations, speak to networking and seeking people out and getting past I'm scared and moving? Are you, I think you need to be too scared to stay where you are.
Exactly. And 100% agree with what you said. I know, you know, going way back to when we first started, we went to one of the wholesalers and said, how do we get started in this business? And they sent a salesman out, and he stayed with us for almost 10 hours, just plotting how we could go into business with them. And to this day, that gentleman is still a very close friend of ours. And, you know, like you said, all you have to do is ask, and people are more than happy to share their information with you. This is why I go to these networking functions where I have an interest, because when I go there, I hear from people, I hear things that I would never have imagined that I could learn. And not only from the people that are presenting, you know, like the speakers, but the people that are sitting on, at the table next to me have, in many cases, been in the business themselves, and they have little tidbits that they share with you also, you know, that you don't hear from the experts that are at the front of the room. So, I mean, and that plays into the like minds, you know, like if you're going to a function where other people you have to assume are there because they're interested in that subject, means that they share like-mindedness with you. And so, you know, you just are able to reap huge benefits from other people. I encourage everybody to do that. We do have Anne McNeil on the line with us as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, we're hoping to hear from all of our listeners out there. If you have a question for Stacey, for Rufus, or myself about entrepreneurship, getting started, Anne is one of our top business owners as well. She's one of the first black women contractors in the state. She can join our conversation, or if you're out there, if you have a question, please raise your hand, and we'll get your question, and we want to be able to help as much as we can with the time that we have left this morning.
Hey, can I share a quote from Napoleon Hill?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Anne. How are you this morning?
Good morning. You know, this is Anne McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives. And I want to thank all of you for sharing with us. And I'm so excited to hear from Stacey because she has so much to share. But I just want to ask Stacey a question if I can.
Surely.
Stacey, can you share with us why did you become a part of the International Mastermind Association, and what are your thoughts, if you have any, regarding utilizing Napoleon Hill's book as a part of your masterminding process? And I'm going to go back on mute because I'm actually in a car. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. Well, number one reason was Anne asked me to join. And I was already doing a lot of this stuff, and it just, there was so much synergy. And it came to me at a time in my life when I was a little disheveled. I was actually lost my way a little bit. And it is great to have a support group that's there to help you when things get sticky, and also when things are going good. But, you know, sometimes we are out of sync, and masterminding has really helped me to get refocused on what I want to do with my life, with my business, with my personal. So I'm so grateful to be a part of this. And, you know, this morning I was reviewing some of the stuff that Napoleon Hill talks about, and so many times we are going along and then we come upon a little difficulty. And it's so easy to say, wow, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to find something else to do, you know, or take the easy road. As a matter of fact, this week somebody told me about a position that was available. And I thought about it, but I decided that I really don't want to go to work for somebody. I enjoy what I'm doing too much. And Napoleon Hill talks about not quitting and, you know, sticking to things. And one of the comments that's here, before success comes in any man's life, he is sure to meet with much temporary defeat and perhaps some failure. When defeat overtakes a man, the easiest and most logical thing to do is to quit. That is exactly what the majority of men do. And so I'm not a quitter. So, and masterminding has helped me to do that. So I thank you for the question, Anne, and I'm back to you, Beatrice.
Oh, awesome. Wow, that was very, very powerful, Stacey. I mean, sometimes we quit just right before, you know, that we would be able to overcome, or the sunlight, or, you know, God brings the person that's going to help us, or even if it's simply a positive word. So definitely, we're glad you're deciding to move forward. I want to just tell our listeners a couple of key things for money out there, even though the banks aren't lending as much, but there is an organization called R Micro Lending. They are a microloan fund. If your credit is horrible and you need up to $25,000, but you can show them how you can repay them and you've got orders in, that's an organization you can contact.
Can you say the name again, please?
R Micro Lending. Also, there's the Bayside Foundation, the Miami Bayside Foundation. If you're in the city of Miami and you have a business already and you need money, and you could have blemishes on your credit, you can be loaned up to $50,000 if you're in the city of Miami. And what that means is that Mayor Rick Larigalotto has to be your mayor, because some people think, I'm in Miami, but you might be in Miami-Dade County. There's also Partners of Self-Improvement. I hope I have that right. But if anyone want to reach out to me, but you can Google this information as well. They have a micro loan fund as well, but they also do a lot of training. They start with really small amounts, but they do a lot of business training. There's also the Miami-Dade Small Business Minority Business Development Center, and that's run by Marie Gill. That's a federal program where the federal government actually pays an organization to help companies grow, to help them put their bids together, to help with marketing plans, financing, loan packaging. That's the Minority Business Development Center, and that's operated by Marie Gill. So there are a lot of resources out there. I'm going to give you just one more website before we go back to questions from our listeners, and that's the website of the organization that I run. And listen carefully, it's a little bit of a tongue twister. It's S as in Sam, F as in Frank, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, D as in dog, C as in cat, .org, SSMSDC.org. And on our website, you can actually find something called the IBM Small Business Toolkit. There's lots of samples, articles, information on marketing, HR, starting your company. There's a wealth of information on that website. And don't forget to check out our resources link as well.
Do we have any other of our listeners out there that has a question for Rufus, our special guest, Stacey Silvera, or myself? Please raise your hand, and we will bring you in to ask your question.
None right now. Oh, here's one. I'll go ahead,
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Brian Harris. Actually, it's not more of a question. It's more of just motivation for the rest of the individuals that are on the line that might be listening and a little bit shaky on whether or not they need to break off. I'm actually trained as a pharmacist, but Walgreens was making all the money off my knowledge. So through the course of time, I just went and started learning different niches in the world. And I must say that it's a lot of people that need individuals like us to take that leap of faith in the world to go get it. Now that I believe Mr. Curry was talking about, you know, just started and then things will come to you. I mean, every month someone comes to me about, you know, a new plan on freedom. Like recently I just got introduced with Solarvay, you know, a new cell phone company started out in Seattle. I mean, that's just another avenue of residual income that's going to keep me out here on the sandy beaches of Florida instead of inside with a lab coat pushing out pills. So you just got to go out there, find the info. The info is out there, and I greatly appreciate, you know, you guys doing this type of phone call for people out there that might be a little bit nervous or just don't know how to do it.
Thank you so much. See, everybody needs another stream of income. So it's just taking that leap of faith, and that's what it is. You know, be cautious. You know, get all of the information that you can step by step. Definitely, you know, I always say the definition of an entrepreneur is a risk taker. Do we have any other listeners out there? Thank you for your comment that want to ask a question.
Hey, I just want to let me put this out here while we set up the next caller. There's a quote by Napoleon Hill that says this from the book Think and Grow Rich. It says, "Don't wait. The time will never be just right."
That's right.
I'm reading it. My wife told me that a long time ago. You know, when we were getting married. I can't remember when it was, and we were trying to prepare to do something, and she said, "Well, it's never going to be a good time. You just have to do it. You have to do it, and once you start doing it, it's kind of like for those of you who watch science fiction, or if you've ever seen the X-Men, there's a scene where a man, one of the characters, walks into this room and it's absolutely vacant, and he must be a couple hundred feet above the ground, and as he walks, the floor materializes right in front of him every step that he takes." And that's basically how we have to be, because a lot of, you know, those of us that we're spiritually tied in, so we have to have that faith. You also, like Beatrice said, you have to, you know, do your research and everything, because in Scripture it says, prove this. It means that you have to do your research. You have to know as much as you can and tie yourself into a network, like Stacy said. And as you walk forward, we walk by faith and not by sight. The floor and the foundation that we need will materialize. If you don't have enough, if you need some fired up motivation, I recommend that you watch the movie Book of Eli with Denzel Washington. Because if that don't fire you up, nothing will. You know what I'm saying? I'm just sure. Let me get off the soapbox.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Rufus, for those words of encouragement. Do we have any other listeners out there? If you could raise your hand if you have a question, or just a comment, or tell us your story of entrepreneurship or surviving during a difficult time.
None right now.
Okay. Well, if we don't have any listeners right now, let me share a couple of other pieces of information with our listeners, and some really good books out there. We've got some recommended readings. The first one is In Search of Excellence. That's, again, In Search of Excellence by Thomas Peters and Robert Waterman. Another great book is From Good to Great. That was excellent. Just talks about really maintaining a company and how, you know, everyone has to have buy-in within the organization. Discovering the Soul of Service by Leonard Berry is another excellent read. It's so much of what we do, even if we're one person meeting our customers' needs, is about service. And so that is critical, that we provide excellent service. Guerrilla Marketing by J. Conrad Levinson. That's just required reading. There's so many ways that you can market your company and get in front of the right customers. Highly recommend that as well. The Art of the Start by Guy Kawasaki. That's spelled K-A-W-A-S-A-K-I. The Art of the Start. You know, how you start is how you finish, but that's not always true. But you got to start somewhere, right, Rufus?
You're absolutely right. You know
what this is? Gotta start somewhere.
There's another book that I want to throw in there because it all starts from you know, a lot of us are looking for everybody's looking for the magic pill. Everybody wants a magic pill. You know, and the thing that we need to do also is it starts with you. It says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, which means that in Scripture it also says the kingdom of heaven is within you. So it starts from inside, out, not outside in, and we're looking for someone to give us guarantees. So the thing, there's a book by James Allen that is built upon a proverb. It says, as a man thinketh. And this book, and I'm reading it now, I'm reading it with my son, and I have there are two other young boys, two seventh graders and an eighth grader, and I think it is important for these young brothers to understand that, you know, James Allen says, you don't become who you wish or pray to be. You become who you are. Okay, I'm going to let that marinate.
Okay.
In a crisis situation, you revert back to who you are. Now, if you see an individual, say for somebody who used profanity or who was violent or what have you like that, in a crisis situation, they don't become who they purport or they project to the world they are. They show up as who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, whoa, who is that? I never seen them like that. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you know, and so you look at that, and we're moving forward, and we talk about personal thought. There's another book by Kiyosaki called Business in the 21st Century. Now that's a phenomenal book right there, also. And I think that that's a book worthy of reading because it talks about you know, entrepreneurship and it talks about trying to start a business in the traditional sense. You know, Stacey was talking about not having the capital or the monies to go into business, go it alone. Also, she talked about
the knowledge, the expertise,
know-how, the
about
knowledge
the industry,
and the whole nine yards. So he addresses that, and he talks about creative ways of getting there and doing exactly what you want to do. You don't have to go it alone, but what you have to do is, as a man think, is set up in your mind first to be the foundation of your forward progress.
Right. Mm. That is so true. Stacey, you want to share something with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, something that we haven't really touched on much but also ties back into the masterminding principles is planning and, you know, putting on paper what it is that you would like to accomplish with the business and how you would go about reaching those goals that you set out. And I think that is so crucial today in laying out how you want to go about going into business and how you plan to sustain the business. Because I think that if you don't, then you fall off, you lose your focus, and, you know, then you're left to whatever is out there. So I just wanted to mention.
That is an excellent point, and that is part of the mastermind process, setting goals, planning. In the business world, we call that a business plan. Now, some people say, well, do I have to pay for a business plan? How big does it have to be? And that sort of thing. All it is, you know, what do I want to do? Who's my market? What do I want to sell? What's my budget? Where do I want to be this month, next year, and so forth? And there are lots of recommendations, ideas out there on the internet about planning. I gave you all the SFMSCC's website. On the IBM Small Business Toolkit, there are sample business plans, what a business plan should include. So you don't necessarily have to go pay thousands of dollars to have a business plan written. You could actually do it yourself. And it's just something that you go back to regularly to remind you where you said you were going to be, where you want to go, what it is that you want to do. And a business plan can be changed midstream throughout regularly as you meet, as you're meeting those milestones. So it's just a guide to help you as you are growing your company.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, Stacey, can you share with us what are some of the mistakes that business owners make, especially new business owners?
Well, I think that one of the things that we fall into is thinking that we can do it all by ourselves, or that we're wearing all of these hats and thinking that we have to do the books and we have to turn on the lights, you know. And, of course, when we're doing that, we lose sight of what it is that we were really trying to do or the thing that we are really good at. And so I encourage new business owners to seek partners to help them with other things. You know, like if you're not really good at doing the books, why are you doing it? And I was listening to a lady the other day, and she was saying, you know, it would take her 12 hours to get her data entered into her QuickBooks or whatever it was that she was using, and she hated every single minute of it, and it took her away from doing money-generating activities. She finally decided to seek out somebody, a bookkeeper, and the amount of money that she was paying the bookkeeper was far less than the money that she was losing doing it herself. It was taking away the thing that she hated and giving her time to do more of what she wanted to do. And it was being done better, you know. So we're always scared to spend money, but sometimes we have to let those things go and find somebody that's an expert in that area to do those things and do the things that we do best. So
that's an excellent point. That is an excellent point. And a lot of things you can farm out, even virtually. There are virtual assistants. There are definitely things that you can do to reduce your costs. And to keep in mind, you can barter. So somebody might say, well, I can't afford a bookkeeper. Well, maybe you can do the marketing for your bookkeeper. Maybe you can do their website, and they will do your bookkeeping. So there are a lot of things that you can do to, you know, still – you know, have the expertise that's needed to grow your company and yet not necessarily pay for it. I just want to share a couple of stories of success with our listening audience. One company that comes to mind is a company called Dirt Pro. It's owned by a young African-American young man. He's in his 30s. He started the company while he was at Florida State. He happened to be at an away game and overheard someone who was retiring who was in the cleaning business, the facilities business. And he got back to campus, and another basketball player and himself, they started that company. And he said to me that he worked just like his employees cleaning, and that's why he has such a respect for people that clean. And right now that company employs close to 300 people in our community and is a facilities management company. And he started it right while he was in college, and so it's a great success story. And one thing that really you said that just really inspired me, he says, I am here to build a great company and to provide people jobs, and I respect people that claim, because I did it when I first started the company, and now I'm managing and marketing it, but I want to pay these people a great wage. I want to provide them education, scholarships, and so forth. And he's building, you know, a wonderful company. Another company that comes to mind is Solo Construction. Randy Pearson is that the owner of that company, and I think they've probably been in business now 30 years. His father started the company. Then he had an opportunity to go work for corporate America, decided that it wasn't for him, and, you know, came to work with his dad. And now they've built a sizable company. And people say, well, construction, that's really hurting right now. But transportation is still growing. You have to reinvent yourself during a tough time. And that company employed, you know, most of his family. He's got 10 brothers and sisters. And so that's, you know, that's another benefit of owning your own company, is when you can not just employ strangers, but employ your own family. You know, what an impact that makes. And there are hundreds of stories, not as large in terms of the companies. It could be one person. You employ yourself, but not everyone wants to make billions or millions. They just want to work for themselves, not to have to answer to anyone. They want to, you know, make their own hours. They want to travel when they want to. They want to work virtually. So, you know, employing one is just as good as employing hundreds, as long as you are happy in what you do, you're making money, and, you know, you're making a difference, and you're selling to customers, and you're making a need. You're meeting a need, I should say. Find a need out there. Find a niche, and you can do it as well. Stacey, is there anything else you would like to share? Because we only have 4 minutes before the end of the show, and Rufus, jump in anytime. And I don't know if we have anyone out there. Our listeners have been really quiet today, but hopefully they're taking notes and getting some good information. And I gave you all the wrong name previously. It's Partners for Self-Employment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that has the microloan program as well as training.
Yeah. Wow. I just want to drop. Stacey, go ahead. I yield to you.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I was just going to drop a couple of Napoleon Hill-isms, because I think this is so important, and it is so basic. This is like baby food that we can all ingest. And here are a couple. It says, when your desires are strong enough, you will appear to possess superhuman powers to achieve. Now, remember, desire is the bedrock of achievement. It also states that, you know, the starting point of all achievement is desire. Keep this constantly in mind. Weak desire brings weak results, just as small fire makes a small amount of heat. It also says this: cherish your vision and your dreams, as they are the children of your soul, the blueprint of your ultimate achievement. Now, remember this. The vision is given to you. The idea belongs to you. The Creator has bestowed this opportunity or idea upon you. You are the steward of the idea, and you must get it done. I believe this. This is Rufus Curry. When Beatrice was talking about the young man who was able to employ his entire family, and I look at our community, and I look at things from the practical perspective and being able to apply them. The thing is this. people are, when we look at what the scourge of our community and what needs to be done, we know that it's going to take a lot of money. Look, it's not gonna, people aren't going to do it out of the goodness of their heart. If it makes dollar sense, they'll come in and do it. So with that being said, what we need to do as individuals is to generate an independent stream of income so that we can finance the cure and the care of our own community. Okay? And so when we talk about that, you know, you need to be in an and we talk about your mastermind group is a cocoon of assistance, care, help, and building. If you're in a franchise situation and they're not trying to build you and train you and make you greater, then you might need to relook that situation. If you're in a mastermind group or you're trying to build a group with individuals, if they're not reciprocal in, you know, their situation. Look, I tell anybody hands down, I ain't no shame. My mastermind group is the bomb. That's right. Beatrice Lewis and Angela and Williams. Nah, that's right. You tell them. Go tell them I said it. That's right. I said it. That's right. I talked with two of the sharpest sisters on the planet 3 days a week, and they get in my business and, you know, and they tell me, you know, do this, do that, and the whole nine yards, which it doesn't bother me because I come from strong women. My wife was a strong woman. My mother was a strong woman. My mother-in-law was a strong woman. My grandparents were women, were strong women. So the opportunity is there. You know, I like listening to these stories. I like listening to you, Stacey, and your story and how you got it done, because it is confirmation that in the fell clutch of circumstance, you know, by the poem by Edgar A. Guest, see it through. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I winced and I cried aloud under the bludgeon of chance. My head is bloody but unbowed. That's a Invictus. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I got my inspirational poems messed up. That's Henley. That's Invictus. But it's the same thing. You have to get off. Are you afraid? Are you gonna let fear win, or is fear more important, or is freedom more important?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, "Well, I don't want to sell." But come on, you're selling every day. Whatever you're doing, you're selling yourself basically to the company that you work for. That's why they hired you there. They're not just having you there because you're cute and you're nice and you're afraid. So is fear more important than freedom? And I don't want to deal with people. I mean, come on, somebody dealing with your raggedy butt.
Oh, Lord. So, Rufus, you're taking it down to the brass.
But what I'm saying is we have to grow. We have to stop being self-righteous. We have to open ourselves up to improvement. I'm just keeping it real. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Keep it real. Well, we are at the end of our show. I want to thank Stacey Severa, president of Sega Solutions, who is embarking on a new venture, new opportunity, taking that risk again after being in business for 25 years with another company. I wish you continued success, Stacey. If anyone can do it, I know you can. Rufus, my man, my brother, my mastermind partner, thank you for being our co-host. And Angela was with us earlier. She had an event that she had to go to. It's really been our pleasure to be your host, I should say, for the month of August. Join the Palm Beach Life Planners beginning next Saturday and the entire month of September at 8 a.m. for International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio for discussions on achieving success and meeting your goals and really achieving your dreams in life. We have been the anointed masterminders, myself, Angela, and Rufus. We want to thank you for listening to us in the month of August. Continued success, our listeners out there. Don't be afraid to strike on your own and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And be safe out there as we prepare for this tropical storm. And don't forget to follow your dreams. Thank you so much for listening to us today.
Hey, B, can I give one more quote before we go?
One more quote.
Can I do one more quote?
One more.
This is a quote from Chuck Yeager, who was an astronaut. He was the first man to fly faster than the speed of sound. And this quote deals, we're talking about change. Chuck Yeager said this when he came down, landed, and they interviewed him, and they said, "What was it like?" And he said this: "The cockpit shakes the most just before you break the sound barrier," which means that if you're going to change your life, if you're going to do something different, if you're going to start a business, if you're going to mastermind with others to change your lives and your community, you're going to have resistance. You're going to have tension, and you're going to have the rattling of your cockpit and your forward progress, but just keep flying. When you hear that sonic boom, that's going to be you launching out in the deep water, and you will leave a legacy that will not only change your life, but it will change others as well. People are waiting for you to arrive because God has given you something to not only save your life, but to save others. Your life is coming through you, not to you. What you have in mind to do is not just for you. There is somebody waiting to be helped by your vision.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Rufus, for those final thoughts. And everyone have a wonderful weekend. And don't forget to tune in to the Palm Beach Planners beginning next Saturday. Thank you for listening out there. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Y'all have a good one.
Bye.